Let's get started, and I'd like to kick off the show by welcoming my co-host, Mr. Michael Lejeune. Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, man. Happy to be here, as always.
Awesome. Awesome. Good to have you again. So today we're going to be talking about something that just happened relatively recently, which is the conversion over from, well, not a conversion per se, maybe a transition from the old system where folks had to get a DUNS number to register, and then the government now is using a new identifier called the UEI, Unique Entity Identifier. First and foremost, Mike, I'm wondering here, you know, how everything has a name ultimately. Do we have to say all three letters, or has anybody been calling it yet the UE?
A lot of times I just see UEI someplace because, you know, that's just the way Sam has identified it out there. So you'll see UEI everywhere, all over the place. So I don't know what we should call it. They could have come up with something that would have been like a three-letter word of some sort, but here we are.
Right?
So kind of nerdy trivia, this has been going on for almost 2 years. This is actually not what it was originally called. It was originally the SAMMI, the S-A-M-M-I. I don't even remember what it was, but it was the SAM something identifier. And people were like, I guess, making fun of SAMMI. And so they changed it, and now it's the UEI.
Anyway, we're going to call it a UE.
Yeah, we'll call it the UE. Those that don't realize this, this process has been going on for 2+ years. We've been tracking it that long, talking about it that long. I've been telling people to get ready for it for a really long time, because I think for a lot of folks, it's sort of scary that they were going to switch after we've been using DUNS numbers for so long. And not only that, but the SAM website as you see it today is fairly new. You know, we were a beta for a while, and then they flipped the switch and it was SAM.gov again with the consolidation of everything. And then less than a year later, they flipped the switch and removed the DUNS number and bring in the UE, right? And so there's been a lot of transition there. And I kind of jumped right into talking about it here. That, I think that's the biggest challenge for most people with this, is kind of the shock of, hey, well, my DUNS number is gone. Originally, when this was happening, we expected the DUNS number to be archived inside the system somehow, and the UE to be like the primary number. And then about 6 months ago, they said, nope, we're just going to strip it out. And so we got a notice saying, hey, if you've got reports in your SAM database with a DUNS number in them, you need to remove those reports, because when we make the switch, if you've got it in there, we're going to delete every report if it's got that in there. So people had to hurry to make sure that that was pulled out so it didn't crash their reports. And then sure enough, when this came online last week, so today's April 13th, last week was April 4th. When this came online, sure enough, DUNS number is gone. So if you go in SAM and you try to search on a DUNS number, you're going to come up with no results. That's just the way it is moving forward. They've moved to this new thing. So yes, we are recommending that people keep their DUNS number like on their capability statement, but add the SAM UEI. But when you go to search, that's the first challenge you're going to have if you were searching on things. That field is gone now. You can no longer search on that. And so that's one of the first points there about it.
Yeah. So what else do folks need to know? I mean, just in case you didn't get the memo, right? Because there could be some confusion out there. And especially if you're brand new in government contracting, there's still probably a lot of old videos that reference DUNS, get a DUNS, you know. And so, you know, some folks think like, I've got to get a UEI now. But technically, you don't really get a UEI.
So if you were registered in SAM, you've actually had your UEI for probably 6 months and didn't know it. Most people already had it. They had that flipped on that switch months ago. And then when they got rid of the DUNS number, this just kind of rolled up to the top, basically. So if you've got a SAM account, even if your account has been expired, I actually went through this with a client last week. His SAM account expired 3 years ago. And I went in there, and sure enough, he's already got a SAM UEI in there. So as long as you have a SAM account, you've got this. You no longer have to go to DUNS to get that, to register on SAM. That's not an issue. Interestingly enough, though, I do believe existing accounts are still pulling address information from their DUNS number. I have a client working through this right now where he's like, hey, when I registered in SAM, I thought I put our current address, but it's showing our old address that was attached to the DUNS number. So there's some legacy issues that I think are still going to be in there, and that may cause some problems for people. But remember that the SAM.gov website, I call it an active beta. Like, they've removed the term beta, but they are actively working on development and bugs 24/7 on that website. So we see a lot of different issues when it comes to searching for entity information where, hey, you may have a problem on Monday. By Monday afternoon, the problem is fixed. If not, I do recommend people call the federal help desk and ask for help about the issue, because they don't always know about all the bugs that are going on. But for the most part, the biggest thing about the UEI is that's how the government's going to look up information now. So when it comes to anywhere you would have put that DUNS number, you need to replace that with this, or at a minimum, add it to, you know, your capability statement, your website, all those different places, because the government can't look you up by the DUNS number anymore. They don't have any special access in there where they're going to go look that up. They're going to need that SAM UEI, because just using your company name is not always going to work. They need that UEI now.
Well, I think that that is a good summary of what just occurred. So just to kind of recap it off there, and I'd like to change gears a little bit. And then we're going to go into our Q&A section, which, by the way, if you guys are watching this on the streaming platform and you want to join us in our post-show Q&A, please do that. You can just go to govology.com/issues and still request access there. Join us on the Q&A side. Also, I know that there's some folks that probably also has some tips that they'd like to share, and we welcome you into that as well. I know I see some hands up already. So I want to change gears a little bit, Michael, but again, just to recap what Mike said, if you are not registered in SAM yet, you don't need to get a UEI. There may be companies out there that are charging to get a UEI, but again, you can go through the SAM process, register. It's part of when you register, you get assigned that UEI or the UE or whatever you want to call it.
Whatever you want to call it.
Right? Yep. So if you are already having your registration in SAM, you would already have had that. So I want to switch gears a little bit, Michael, because I want to talk about what happens now with the DUNS. What should you do with your DUNS number? Should you just get rid of it and forget it altogether, which is what some people might think, like, hey, I don't really need this anymore. So I'm just going to scrub that off of the capability statements and everything else. But I would like to share a few considerations. And a lot of people don't know how many things and how many systems and reports this DUNS number ties in with, and which would be my suggestion would be, like you mentioned, instead of scrubbing it and just getting it off of your capability statement, perhaps you leave it on the capability statement. And here's why. Number one, if you use your capability statement, not just to market to federal government agencies, but other government entities, non-federal, as well as the prime contractors out there. And I know that a lot of people go to these conferences and they have like this generic capability statement that you may hand out to a federal agency, you may hand out to a state or local agency, and you may hand out that same capability statement to a prime contractor. One of the reasons why you may want to keep your DUNS number on that capability statement is because just because the federal government switched from using that as the primary business identifier, some of those state and local governments may also still use that if they've used your DUNS number to identify your business in the past. Also, if the prime contractors that have their own vendor registration portals use that DUNS number as an identifier, you may want to have that as well. But the DUNS number goes beyond just being an identifier. And so for a lot of people that may not know it yet, this is like your business's credit report. So DUNS is one of the primary agencies that basically not only provides an identity number based upon your location, but it also pulls a lot of reports and it sells a lot of data about your company in terms of your credit history. When I was a contracting officer at the VA doing construction acquisition, you know, in addition to looking at everything that was in the evaluation criteria for award, one of the things that they required us to do is to go and look at supplier evaluation risk rating. So this was a score. So basically, this is how the government also mitigates risk. They can kind of look at how risky a firm might be financially. right? So the government's going to award you a contract or even a prime, or a prime wants to partner with you. They may be looking at these numbers to say, you know, what is the viability financially of this business if we give them an award? And a lot of times you don't see that in the evaluation criteria for award, but it's something that the government may be taking a look at on the back end. I know that we did when I was at the VA. I can't speak for every agency out there. But there's also something called a PAYDEX score. And actually, I was just at a conference last week at the APTAC conference, by the way, if we have any PTACers online, you know, just want to give a shout out to you guys, but it was a great conference. And I happened to have entered into a conversation with somebody. We were talking about the PAYDEX score, and not a lot of people understand how that works, but that's another score that's fed from Dun & Bradstreet. And it's basically essentially a credit report in it, and it also shows how quickly you pay your suppliers. So obviously, if your PAYDEX score shows that you're a slow pay or a no pay to your suppliers, your subcontractors, you may have a hard time getting the government contract because they're like, hey, you're not paying your suppliers. And so there's a lot of things that tie in with the DUNS. And so again, my suggestion personally would be, you know, you may want to continue to not only carry that on your capability statement in conjunction with your UEI, but you may also want to look into Dun & Bradstreet to see for yourself. And there's a way you can sign up for a free report for yourself, just like you might do on your personal credit with Experian. But there's some other things that you can go in there to manage your report. And this becomes important, especially if you're looking for a loan. If you're in the construction industry and you're trying to get your bonding up, it might be something that the bonding companies are looking at in terms of, do they want to give you financing? So there's a lot of things that play in with DUNS. So I would say definitely, even though DUNS is gone from SAM registrations, it's certainly probably not going to be forgotten.
That's all really good points, Carol. And I think for most people, this is not a very complex issue. It's a very simple thing. It's just a matter of people going into SAM, looking up and finding what their SAM UEI is. Most people either didn't look at the emails, don't know they have it, aren't even aware of this issue. And it's more about bringing awareness to the fact that this has happened and for you to go look up that information, familiarize yourself with it, and start putting it in your marketing material. If I could sum it up, that's it. Not complex or anything like that. But if we don't bring awareness to the issue, people are going to still just be putting their DUNS number on stuff and things like that. And it's just going to be an issue. I believe even like your CAGE code, it's not easily searchable inside of SAM. I was having problems the other day with that. There's also, for those that don't know, you can actually search SAM without logging in today. So that was not the case even a couple of months ago. Like you had to log in to search anything. Today, you do not have to log in to search in SAM on the surface level. However, I have tested this multiple times in multiple ways. If you don't log in and you do some searching, a lot of times you're going to get zero results or very skewed results for anything that you're searching for. And once you log in, the result set is totally different. It's very interesting. I don't understand why certain things only show up publicly when you're not logged in versus logged in, but they have not bridged that gap at the moment. And so you can even search for your own company and not find it when you're not logged in, and then log in, and then boom, all of a sudden it's there. So there's some interesting things going on with the SAM website in conjunction with this switch, and again, it being a live beta. And so just be aware of all of that.
For anybody that may have the question of how do I find my SAM number if you haven't already found it yet, right? All you have to do is go to SAM.gov. And like Michael said, you may have to log in to even see your own entity's information. Maybe you don't, but if you log in and you just click the button that's like manage my entity or one of those links that's right up at the top, it'll pull up that little box. You know, usually when you go to do an update to your profile, the first thing you see is kind of a little box with your information, and you should see your UEI right in that field there.
Another way to do it is when you log in, click on the search tab and then search your company name, and it should pull up your company name if you're logged in, and you will see company name and the UEI is just below it. And if for some reason you don't see that or it's not clear to you, click on the company and look at the profile and you'll see it in there.
And that's if you didn't opt out of public record searches. So, but this is all fluid, you know, and so it's subject to change, and know that you get different types of visibility, different areas, just as Michael mentioned. So again, if you have any troubles, just, you know, log in and look for it. If you can't find it on the surface, you'll probably find it inside. So
yeah. I will throw out this one little tip here for the client of mine that's actually in the middle of trying to renew their SAM profile. Like, it expired a couple of years ago. He had to click on the inactive button when he was doing his search. So like, if you're doing a search on the left-hand side of the screen, you scroll all the way down, it'll have checked automatically the active button. There's an inactive button. You just click that as well. And then that will show up other different results. If you know your profile is expired, be sure and click that button. And that's a quick way to make sure that pops up in your searching.
Awesome. Well, I think that's pretty much all there is to say about that. Really, you know, it's been nice that this hasn't been a major impact. I mean, like, you know, back when there was the whole conversion from the central contractor registration to SAM, that was like madness for a while. But this was pretty seamless. And, you know, hey, good job to the government folks for, you know, making it that way this go around, you know, because I know things can really get caught up in glitches, but I think we should give some credit when it's due.
Yep, absolutely. And by the way, so one more little quick thing. In your reports now, that is a field. If you have preset reports in the data bank in SAM, you will want to add the SAM UEI into those reports so you have some sort of company identifiers that make it easy to search. Like if you're doing competitive research or anything like that, if you're looking for like the who buys what you sell type of reports, and you're looking for the other vendors and that sort of stuff, I highly recommend you go and add the SAM UEI to those reports so you can look at those, have that information, and then you can go and look up those companies specifically by their UEI down the road when you need to do more research.
No, good, great tip. And I'll add one more onto that, which I heard from someone else, which was good, but it is, you know, some people like to also follow certain companies to see when they get awards. Like if you go into the SAM contracting opportunity search, if you're following awards of certain companies and maybe in your search agents, you had a DUNS number to track that search of awards to a certain company, go ahead and put the UEI in there and save that under your searches now so that you can get that relevant information continuing to flow to you. All righty. Well, Maya, that's it. I think we're going to close for the day and then we'll go to our Q&A. But hey, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in and we'll see you again in the future. We're going to go to live Q&A here. So if you have any questions, feel free to raise your hand and we can unmute your mic and you can come and ask us. If you've typed questions in the chat, Tyrese, did we have any questions come in the chat box while we were talking? Anybody have any comments? Also, please raise your hand if you have any tips or something that we didn't cover that you'd like to share with the folks that are on the call today.
I think this is one of the few times where it's pretty straightforward. You know, it's a pretty simple scenario here, thankfully. And so we'll see.
Yeah.
We have one question in the box there. It says, with incident process, are people having success?
Can you elaborate on the question?
You can come on live with us if you'd like. She's still with us.
I asked her to unmute her mic.
What I'm referring to is that now we don't have that help desk. And so I'm wondering now that we must use the incident process, if are people getting quick responses or replies?
The service desk is still there.
It is. I was told it was not there.
As far as I know, the FSD, the Federal Service Desk, is still there. I'm not aware that it's gone. I believe there is like an incident process or whatever for certain things, but I'm not aware of them getting rid of the service desk. I don't use it that often, so my partner Josh is probably like on their speed dial because he calls them so often about stuff, but I'm not aware of that. So.
Okay, good to know. Thanks.
All right. Do we have any other questions? Oh, somebody said they were just on the call with the help desk yesterday for over an hour.
There you go.
That is a good tip just to make a note as well. You know, if you guys are looking for help, your local procurement technical assistance center is always a great help. If you are also working with a minority business development agency that offers some support inside of that area or any of the other, what I like to refer to as the G-Fund Mastermind, those government-funded resource partners out there, make sure you're getting some help from them. Also, as we speak to help desk, if you go to fsd.gov, the Federal Service Desk, there's actually a big green button right on the right-hand side that says help on UEI transition. And then there's a bunch of questions. Yeah. Probably somebody's already asked the question if you have it there.
We also have a comment here. It says, when requesting UEI and your business is not found in the database, you have to file an incident report.
And I'm not sure exactly what the challenge is there, because if you're not in SAM, you're not going to have a UEI because you're not in SAM. So if you are going through the process of getting your SAM account for the first time, as you go through, it will create that for you. If your business is not found, it means you don't have a profile in there. Or, like I was saying earlier, are you logged in? Because anybody can create a login. You don't have to attach to your business or anything like that. You can go create a login and then search for your business. But if you are not logged in, it's extremely difficult. Like, I was just searching on our business and I searched like four different ways not logged in, and nothing even remotely came up on our business. And as soon as I logged in, I was able to keyword find it. So there's a big difference on the search between being logged in and not logged in, which is a problem in my book.
All right. Yeah, I can see how that is an issue, you know, because there's a lot of people that are trying to look to see if somebody's registered in SAM, you know. Yeah.
One of the biggest complaints about SAM right now, and I know this is kind of silly, but most people hate the fact that their two-factor authentication is numbers and letters. And so people don't want to do it anymore. They loved it when it was just numbers and you could quickly do it on the keypad. It's a very common complaint that it's alphanumeric now. And so they don't want to log in. So
spreading the fingers too far at that point.
There's another question there about, have I heard of anyone having issues when trying to add their firm to the interested vendors list since the conversion of DUNS to UEI? I have not heard about it. This is fairly new. It's only been live for a week. So I haven't heard a lot of complaints or issues about it. I don't know if that's going to cause an issue. I don't think so.
Yeah. And again, I'll say too, for those of you guys, if you come across something, you have a tip, you have a question, feel free to also throw it into our Govology Nation community. I mentioned that at the beginning, but I know some of you guys have logged in late. But if you go to govology.com/nation, that's our LinkedIn community. You can just request access. And if something pops up afterwards and you want to share or have a question, you can go ahead and ask us there. Any other questions before we head out? Any comments? I know we may have some experts in our midst out there.
Fortunately for this episode, I think it's one of those things. It's so straightforward. I don't think there'll be a whole lot of challenges. It's just for people that, again, like I said, the awareness of it, it's just people being sure that this is going, it's happened. It's done deal. It's not speculation anymore. It's already happened. Here's a question, or maybe a couple, a little off topic. Is it worth paying for third-party sites that send solicitation RFPs, or do they get it all from SAM.gov? Yeah, a little off topic there, Lou. There's bid matching sites that kind of dig in and do different things. Maybe that's a good topic for us to talk about on a future episode. Depending on what you're looking for, yes, some of the bid matching stuff is worth paying for. But if a lot of what you're looking for is on SAM, initially, I typically don't recommend that. I recommend you get to use SAM and understand it. Probably take us 30 minutes to deep dive into
that one. I would also just say check with your local Procurement Technical Assistance Center, because they actually have a bid matching service that will not only scan the SAM opportunities, but also about 2,900 or 3,000 state and local databases. And that's either no cost or very low cost comparative to other third parties. But that is something that we could actually have a whole episode on and talk about where the value is and maybe having something that goes even beyond that.
Yeah. Here's a good question from Katie. Her question is, so am I understanding it correct that the DNB registration is tied to SAM.gov, even if you aren't already registered on SAM.gov? She says that she's attempting to register and it's stating that the year of inception she's entering is inaccurate, but they're not already registered on SAM.gov. And so it's kind of interesting in this. I think this is part of the glitch that's going on right now, is I do see what feels like the remnants of a connection to DNB, even though the DNB number is gone. And so that could be part of what the problem is. Like I mentioned earlier, the client of mine who said, hey, it's pulling my address. Even it's not supposed to be connected to DNB, but it's pulling the DNB address. So why is that? I do believe there's still some remnants of a connection there, even though the Dun & Bradstreet number is gone. So yes, Katie, that could be the challenge. Is it's going to Dun & Bradstreet to confirm it somehow based on your address, location, some sort of information you're putting in and saying this information is not correct. And that is really just a glitch in the transition, if you will. It shouldn't be doing that. It should be looking at it as a new registration unless somebody registered your entity before. So I don't know if Katie is the owner of the company or not, but if somebody entered that the name of this company already and the address and everything, that could be causing the issue, but I doubt it. I think it's still connecting to the Dun & Bradstreet database and they have not broken or severed that connection. And I think that's causing some problems.
That one might be an FSD desk, you know, to see if there may have been a previously asked question on that. And if not, you know, then ask the Federal Service Desk because ultimately, you know, they're managed. Isn't the Federal Service Desk also managed by GSA who manages
SAM? I think so.
They're all connected.
And so to see if that's true, I would go look at my DNB profile and just put in what it has there as your inception date. And if it works, then you're like, oh, yeah, it's still connected.
What's going to be interesting that I was just thinking about, because there used to be, you could get the DUNS number for free if you were doing it for federal contracting and they had the whole Fed form thing.
Yep. And then you had to pay if you were doing it commercially.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if like now you have to pay to get your DUNS number.
You might have to.
That'll be interesting to see.
It could still be just go and look at it and say, hey, I'm a federal contractor and that's why I'm looking this up. But we'll see. Who knows what's going to happen there. Yeah, if you run into challenges, let us know. These are all good things to know about so we can share them with the community. But and remember, this is all data and coding and stuff like that. There's bound to be glitches just like this where they thought they've severed that connection in everywhere possible. And there's some remnant code somewhere and that is causing the little problem here. So,
all righty. Well,
we've covered it.
That's all of them. That's it.
Good job, Carol.
All right. Thanks, Michael. And hey, guys, we'll see you again. Just a reminder, if you guys want to look at joining us for future episodes, we do these once a month, usually about the first Wednesday of the month, unless we have a conflict, then it's usually the second Wednesday of the month. But if you ever want to watch a previous recorded episode or the one we did here, go to gavology.com/issues. And that's where you can look up past episodes. You can see where we are also on the podcasting platforms. You can register for an upcoming show if you want to be with us live in our Q&A. And if you have an issue where you're getting stuck with something, go ahead and submit it and we may take it up on the show if we haven't already discussed it. So thanks again, everyone. Thanks, Tyrese, for helping us out, manage on the back end. And Michael, as always, thank you for being a great co-host.
Thank you. And we'll see everybody next time.
All right. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.